Morning. Today's Daf Menachos Kuf Aleph. We are on the Mishnah on Kuf Amud Beis. We are at the beginning this morning, the 12th parak of the Masechta. The 12th parak of Menachos is going to be dealing with the topic of pigeon. Before we start with our Mishnah, so a word of introduction, a general idea and understanding of Kedusha and pigeon. Pigeon is redemption. If something has Kedusha, so on certain occasions, what we could do is we could extract that Kedusha. We could redeem it. We could transfer that Kedusha from the item itself to money, or possibly from the item itself to something else, to another item. But the general idea is that I could be poda, I could redeem. However, we also know that the opportunity for redemption is only when something has Kedusha's damim, only when its value is kadosh. But if it has Kedusha's aguf, so then it's no longer redeemable. So an animal that is designated as a karban immediately has Kedusha's aguf. And so therefore an animal is not redeemed. Now, we're going to learn over the course of today's daf, and we're going to repeat this idea numerous times. If the animal gets a physical blemish and no longer eligible to be put onto the Mizbeach, so then it can be redeemed. But short of that, it cannot be redeemed. An animal automatically has Kedushas Aguf. And now, let's see. So the first idea of this morning is that there is an opportunity for a pigeon for redemption, but that's only for something with Kedushas Damim, not with Kedushas Aguf. Okay. Second big idea that just by way of introduction is that of let's contrast an animal to something like a mincha. Okay. When it comes to an animal, so the moment that you're makdish the animal, in other words, you don't put the animal in a kli sharis. I know that sounds funny, but it is because, in other words, we don't do such a thing. So when you are makdish an animal, so immediately because the animal now is going to be going on to the mizbech, either all of it or parts of it, depending on whether it's an olan or shlamim. So the animal now immediately has Kedusha Zaguf, and the animal now is not redeemable. Again, with the caveat, of course, that if the animal gets a physical blemish, you can redeem it, but an animal cannot be brought up onto, I'm sorry, the animal is simply not redeemable, it immediately is Kedusha Zaguf. Now, by the way, the terms that are interchangeable is Kedusha Zaguf, Kedusha Mizbech. If you think about it, it makes sense why they're interchangeable. Something that's going to go on to the Mizbech, or destined to go on to the Mizbech, is going to have intrinsic Kedusha, and so therefore it's not redeemable. What about a mincha? So by a mincha, so here, it's a two-step process. Meaning, let's say the flower over here, I say, is I'm going to be bringing this flower as a mincha. Okay, so because you designate the flower for a mincha offering, so therefore the flower has kedusha, but only kedusha's damim, not kedusha's aguf. When is that flower going to obtain kedusha's aguf? Only when it goes into a kli sharis. Then and only then is it going to obtain kedusha's aguf. So as we talk about a carbon animal, so it receives Kedusha Zaguf immediately when you're makdish it. But with a mincha, that's not the case. A mincha only receives Kedusha Zaguf only when it goes into a kli sharis. Good. That's the basic structure. That's the basic outline of the rules of pigeon versus non-pigeon. And now we begin our Mishnah. Ha-menachos va-nesachim, shenitmu. If I have either mincha or nesachim. And by the way, nesachim, the same story. Meaning it's the flour and the oil and the wine of a carbon that's going to go up onto the mizbeach. So it too will only have Kedusha Zaguf only after it goes into a kli sharis. So in this regard, Nesachim and Mincha are the same in terms of the halacha pigeon. So if they become Tameh, so now, Achilo Kishu Bikli, before they went into a kli sharis, so they only are invested with Kedusha's Damim, so Yeshlam pigeon, so you can redeem them. However, Mishe Kedushu Bikli, but the moment they go into a kli sharis, Einlam pigeon, they do not have pigeon because now they have Kedusha Zaguf. Good. You'll notice that the Mishnah gave an example of where they're Tameh. And it only begs the question, which is going to be the majority of today's daf's discussion, and that is it only because they're tummy you're allowed to redeem them? What if they're not tummy? Meaning, our big distinction, and what we really should be focusing on, was whether or not it has Kedusha's Damim versus Kedusha's Aguf. And the truth of the matter is whether it's tummy or not tummy is not going to affect that. Meaning, before it goes into a kli sharis, it's Kedusha's Damim, therefore redeemable. After it goes into a kli sharis, it's Kedusha's Aguf and non-redeemable. Why is the Mishnah presenting a scenario in which it is tummy? So stay tuned because that's going to be a good part of today's discussion in the daf. Ha'ofos va'eitzim va'lavona. Now, when it comes to either birds or the wood or lavona, the kli sharis and the kli sharis itself. Kli sharis, of course, is a keli. It's eligible to becoming tame. So mishin in mu'en lampijon. So from the time that they're tame, they're not eligible to pigeon, for pigeon. Shalom nema pigeon ala behema. Because the only thing that is subject to being redeemed is only an animal, but these items are simply non-redeemable items. And so therefore, there's no eligibility for pigeon. Okay, Adkan Divrei HaMishnah. So the Mishnah over here introduced us to the idea of redeeming a mincha. And basically what the mincha taught, what the Mishnah taught us, is that a mincha is redeemable, but only before it goes into a Kli Sharis, but after it goes into a Kli Sharis, now it's invested with Kedushas Aguf, and it cannot be redeemed. That's the basic point of the Mishnah.
Isn't Levana considered part of the mincha also?
In what, meaning we add Levana to the
right,
mincha.
Right.
Okay.
So if a mincha does a Levana and it becomes Tame.
If it's part of a mincha, so then fine. So then you're right. We're speaking about Levana in of itself. Just like we're speaking about wood in of itself. Okay. Now, our big question, which is going to take up almost all of today in terms of the big question of the day, why would the Mishnah give the example of it becoming Tame? Meaning that's not the key element. The key element is, it did it or did it not yet go into the Kli Sharis? If it did not, it's Kedushas Damim, redeemable. If it went into a Kli Sharis, Kedushas Aguf, non-redeemable. So why is the Mishnah focused on it becoming Tame? In our Mishnah's case, Mincha and Esachim. So Amr Shmuel. So we start with a statement of Shmuel. The Gemara doesn't ask a question. Gemara starts with a statement. And the statement is very clear. Ve'afilo ain't Tahor Niftin. It doesn't matter whether it's Tamei or Tahor. It could be Tahor and you could still redeem it. My time and for a very simple reason. Because prior to going into a Kli Sharis, it only has Kedushas Damim. And we all know the rule. Something with Kedushas Damim is redeemable. So these items are redeemable. The flour that I plan on using for my mincha, I even designated it as flour for the mincha. Okay, that's great. But it only has Kedushas Damim. And therefore, whether it's Tameh or whether it's Tahor, it doesn't matter. I can always redeem it. That's a statement of Shmuel. Now the Gemara says, great. In of itself, I can understand it. But did you look at the Mishnah? We saw the Mishnah. Vanit mutanan. The Mishnah talks about it becoming Tameh. It sounds like from the Mishnah that the only time I can redeem it is if it's Tameh. So the Gemara says, no, hua din dafagav delo nidmu. No, that's not true. The truth of the matter is, like where you're going to defend Shmuel, you can redeem it if and if it's not Tameh. I did the kabbai mitzvah seifa. The only reason why the Mishnah introduced the variable of Tumah is only because of the second half of the Mishnah. In it, it says, Mishikishu b'kli ein lam pidyon. So once it goes into a Kli Sharis, it's no longer eligible for pidyon. The afilu nitmu namilo. You see, because after it goes into a Kli Sharis, now it has Kedushas Aguf, and here it's not going to be open and eligible for pidyon because it's no longer just Kedushas Damim. And so therefore, and even, I'm sorry, before I get to the therefore, and even if it's Tameh, which now means there's a really good reason why I want to redeem it. It's very nice that there's a good reason. But you can't because that is Kedushas Aguf. So Tani Nami Resha Shinitmu. That's why the first half of the Mishnah is talking about Tumah only as a symmetry for the second half of the Mishnah. But Hu Adin in the first half of the Mishnah, as long as that's Kedushas Adamim, I can redeem it, whether it's Tameh or whether it's Tahor. To which the Gemara says, so let me think this through. So you're telling me that the entire point of the Mishnah is that when something goes into a Kli Sharis, that's Kedushas Aguf and you can't redeem it. That's not a tremendous chiddush. And the Gemara basically asks. Now, the Gersa of the Gemara needs a little bit of work, but either way, I'll read it based on the side of the Gemara. Mishikachu b'kli ein lam pidyon pshita. So let's get this straight. So you're telling me now that that's the whole point of the Mishnah. That once it goes into a Kli Sharis, it has Kedushas Aguf, and I can't redeem it. Okay, that's basic. So basic, I don't even understand why the Mishnah would have to then tell me that. And you're telling me that that's the whole point of the Mishnah. Kedushas Aguf Ninu. So it's Tzarich Sakadat Chamina. The Gemara says, well, I will tell you why we could have argued otherwise. There is a Havamina. And it sounds like this. Sakadat Chamina Ho Balmo Mikre Tami. Because, as we're going to just see in a moment, when an animal is a blemish animal, physical blemish animal, we see that under certain occasions the Torah uses the word Tumah to describe it. Now, Tumah and Balmum obviously are two different they're two different concepts. Tameh, meaning, now by a live animal, you can't use the word Tameh. But by a live animal, we are going to use the word Tameh. And I know this is going to be a little bit confusing. When we're talking about a live animal and we're saying that animal is Tameh, we mean it's a non-kosher animal. But the focus of the daf should be on the word Tumah. I know it's not the same. And I know it's a little confusing. But just focus on the word Tumah. So when we're talking about a live animal and we're describing it as Tameh, what we mean is a non-kosher animal. Now, once you shecht the animal, or you didn't shecht the animal, and we're talking about the meat of the animal, so there, Tumah is the concept of Tumah, purity and impurity. But And balmum, obviously, on the other side, means a physical blemish. A physical, external physical blemish of the animal that will prohibit me from bringing it as a carbon. But what the Gemara's point is as follows. We do see, and we'll show where later on this morning, we do see that if an animal has a physical blemish, the Torah calls it tame. So now, tame nami kabamum dame. So once we see that these concepts are interchangeable, I'll try to be as clear as possible, meaning that we do find in one place the Torah refers to a balmum as being something which is quote-unquote tame. So we see now that at least the Torah uses these ideas, these concepts, borrowing the other term to describe it. So maybe, this is now the Havamina, so maybe now the concepts are interchangeable. And that means tame nami kabalmum, dummy. So if I have an animal which is tame, or in this case, not an animal, in this case a mincha which is tame, so let's call it a balmum. Now, the afagav dekadosh kedushas gofi ki nafal beimum mifrik, haninim lifrok. Now let's think about what we know regarding balmum. You have an animal that you invested with kedusha, as I explained in the beginning of shir today. Immediately goes up to kedusha sagof. And now what happens with that animal gets a blemish? So I can redeem it. Oh, so you see that by balmum is able to make redeemable even kedusha sagof. So if that's true regarding balmum, so why don't we say the same thing regarding tamei? That if an animal, or in this case a mincha, becomes tamei, so why don't we give it the same treatment as we would have with a balmum? Just like we know that a balmum makes it redeemable even with kedusha sagof, so why don't we say the same thing as it relates to tumah? That tumah now gives an item an ability to redeem it, even though it's invested with kedusha sagof. That's the havamina. So kamash malan the lav ki itami kari rachman la balmum demiklishar slash kachan demifrik. So the Gemara says that's not why the Torah refers to the tameh is a balmum. And the Gemara says something super fascinating as we now turn to the top of Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. Because even when it comes to balmum, here's what we know. Once coming into contact with a Kli Sharis, that's it. In other words, even though, yes, balmum will allow for the redemption of Kedusha Sagof, however, when something arrives at the point of a Kli Sharis, so under no circumstances is anything no longer eligible for redemption. Now let's give me a second. Now let's explain this in terms of an animal. First, let's start with an animal. Now this is a little bit hard to understand, but Rashi explains it, and I do get it. By an animal, what does it mean? It comes into contact with a kli sharis. So an animal doesn't go into a bowl. In other words, when we generally think of a kli sharis, we're talking about a bowl. Animal doesn't go into a bowl. What happens with an animal is you invest it with a kedusha. Again, like we said in the beginning, immediately goes up to kedusha saguf, and then what do? And then you shecht it. Rashi says exactly. Rashi says that when you shecht it, so what you're doing is you're taking a knife and you're shechting it. Now, it's true that the Gemara is not super clear in terms of whether a knife is a kli sharis or not, and Tosas discussed this many times in our Masechta and back in Zvachim and other places as well. In the beginning of Chulin, by the way, comes up again. So, but... that's true, but let's assume right now, for our purposes, let's assume a knife is a kli sharis. If we assume that, then the Gemara here is so easy to understand and so easy to read. So the Gemara says, so, okay, good. So once the animal comes into contact with a kli sharis, i.e. the knife, so at that point in time, we're all in agreement, it is no longer redeemable. And so, even by balmum, which gives more room, more negotiation for redemption, even by a balmum, we know that once it goes into kli sharis, so that's it. Discussion over. No longer open for redemption. So the same thing, just give me a second. So the same thing is true now regarding tame. So regarding tuma, so it's great. You want to say that tuma and balmum are somewhat interchangeable? Even if we were to argue that, which that in of itself is arguable, it's debatable. But even if you're going to argue that, but once the tame goes into a kli sharis, discussion over. No longer open or subject to redemption. So the Gemara says so. So really, it's at least we had a havamina to suggest that we could redeem it. But the Gemara says, but the maskana is that we can't. But at least we have a havamina. Okay, yeah. Before you shecht it at kedusha saguf, it's an animal.
Yeah, but it's balmum your poyder. And after you shechter, you're not poyder.
Right, correct. You can't. You're right, correct. Correct. You can't be poyder. Right.
Not because of
I remember the Gemara you're making reference to. It's very good. The Gemara over here says it as a rule that after Kli Sharis he cannot be poded, right? Rashi, I didn't read the Rashi inside, but Rashi, I'll just quote the end of the Rashi. So the Acher Shekisha Kli Sharis Kegon Sheshachat Lo Ashkechan Ba Pijan. I understand your point, but Rashi is saying it as a rule that you can't be poded after Shechita. And again, the Gemara is saying it's because it came into contact with a Kli Sharis.
How could you consider the knife a Kli Sharis when a non-Kohen can do Shechita?
Right. Okay, good. That's a wonderful question. That's a wonderful question. Good. Okay. I don't have an answer. Okay. But anyway, Ubamum Hecha Ikre Tameh. Where did we see these terms in the Torah interchangeable that Ubamum and Tameh are used to describe one another? So the Gemara says the time the Gemara quotes a Brisa. The Brisa says Ve'im kol behemos I'm sorry Ve'im kol behemot tamei asher lo yikrivu memena karban Hashem. So the Torah over there, look it up. It's talking about the ability to be poda, and the Torah says that when it comes to a behemot tamei asher lo yikrivu mincha karban Hashem, and I'm sorry asher lo yikrivu mimenu karban Hashem, and it can't be offered, and so therefore you're going to redeem it. Now again, like I said earlier, we're talking about an animal which is alive. The words behemah tamea, in this context, at its simple face value, means non-kosher animals. Right? Live animals are not subject to tumah. So it means non-kosher animals. Now, interesting that the Gemara says that even though that's a simple pshat, the one I just offered, bebali mumim shenifte makasa medaber. It's talking about a blemished animal. Now, ata omer bebali mumim shenifte oeinu ela bebehemah tamea mamish. So why would you do that? Meaning, it would be easiest to explain the pasuk that's talking about behemah tamea. And the point is very simple. I'm makdish a horse to the Beis HaMikdash. It's great. You know what the Beis HaMikdash is going to do with the horse? Not offer it as a carbon, but rather sell it, and the proceeds are going to go to the Bet HaKabayis. So in other words, the idea is, the simple reading of the pasuk is that once it has Kedushas Damim, and it doesn't have Kedushas Guf, you can redeem it. But the Gemara says, no, that's not what the Torah is talking about. The Torah is talking about a bamum, a kosher animal that got a physical blemish. Now, why would you say that? Because the Gemara explains very simply. The Brice explains very simply. Because we already have another pasuk talking about behemah tamea. Keshu amrevim behemah tamea upada be'erkecha hare behemah tamea amura. Behemah tamea has already been covered in another pasuk in the Torah. So the Torah over here now must be alluding to something else which you can redeem. Hamani mekayim ve'im kol behemah tamea be'balimam shenifteu kasev medaber. Fine. Talking about a blemished animal. And that's the chiddush of this pasuk, that once the animal is blemished, even though it was eligible as a carbon, and obviously the moment I'm makdish it as kedushas aguf, but once it gets a physical blemish, I can redeem it. That's the point of the Torah. Now, yachol, let's just finish the brisa. Yachol yiftu amum mover. So I might have thought that I could redeem it if it has a temporary physical blemish, meaning something that will heal. So asher lo yakrivu memen karmel Hashem, yishen akrivu Hashem kol ikar. No, it has to be something which is permanently disqualified. In other words, it's a physical blemish that simply won't heal. However, something can't be offered today. But if we wait a little bit and it will heal and it will regenerate, so then that is something which cannot be redeemed. Anyway, comes out over here is that we just brought this price in to show that the Torah, even though using the word Temeya, sometimes is using that word in reference to Bamum, which again, going back to what we learned earlier, that just set up our Havamina. So once I know that a physically blemished animal can be redeemed, so the Havamina is that a Tamei carbon can also be redeemed. Kamash Malan. Good. Most of Rav Huna Bar Manoach. Okay, but let's put our focus on where it belongs right now, and that is the statement of Shmuel. Shmuel says that when I have a mincha, prior to going into a Kli Sharis, I can redeem it, whether it's Tamei, whether it's not whether it's Tahor. Doesn't matter. The Mishnah said Tamei. Shmuel explained, the Mishnah had its reasons why. But in other words, but the truth of the matter is that anything that is not, any mincha that has not yet gone into a Kli Sharis is redeemable, whether it's Tamei or Tahor, and the Gemara now is going to challenge, based on a Braisa. Ha'ofos va'itim va'lavona v'Kli Sharis, birds, wood, lavona, and the Kli Sharis itself, shenitma'u, that becomes Tamei, and lam pigeon. Shalom namar pigeon ela be'behemah. So, because pigeon, the idea, the concept of pigeon is only by an animal, and these items are not redeemable. Now, let's consider. Bishlama ofos kedushas aguf ninu. So the Gemara says, look, by birds, I get it. Because birds, just like an animal, The moment you're makdish the bird, immediately it ascends to kedushas haguf. It's kedushas mizbeach. And so therefore, I get it. And it has a physical blemish, or in this case, I should say better. In this case, it is, it's tameh. Now, good. Lo namar ela bebehema. So, but, fine. But the whole institution of redeeming a blemished animal is only for animals, not for birds. Good. And ela etzim lavona kli sharis lifriku. But I don't understand. What are we talking about? Wood, lavona, and the kli sharis itself. So let's redeem them. So ela av mishum de taharim ba'ama einiftim. V'hani nami afagav dinit mukitarim damu. So the Gemara says, and I'll tell you why you don't redeem them. Because this is what the Gemara is alleging, Shmuel's wrong. Shmuel's not correct. Shmuel says that if something is Torah, you can redeem it. No. Something with Kedusha's Damim, even before it goes into a Kli Sharis, if it's Tahor, it's not redeemable. So that's the starting point of the Gemara right now. That's the assertion of the Gemara. Shmuel's not correct. And these items, let's consider what we're talking about over here. So these items we're going to treat like Tahor items, even though they become Tameh. Now, I know that sounds funny, but let the Gemara speak out the argument. So the Eitzim Lavona, Alav B'nei Ashrei Uchlaninu. So the Gemara says, because let's talk about wood and let's talk about Lavona. So these are organic items, right? The wood and the Lavona that we'll use for, again, Lavona is used all the time in the Beis HaMikdash, for the Lechem Aponim, for Menachos in general. Okay, anyway. But they're organic items. And Eitzim Lavona Alav B'nei Ashrei Uchla. Now, are they edible? Of course not. Neither of them are edible. Now, the only reason why they are subject to Tumah is because of a concept known as Chibas HaKodesh. Chibas HaKodesh means that when something is used in the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon item, meaning not the animal itself, but the accessories like the wood and the Lavona, so therefore we're going to treat them like something which is edible. But of course they're not. Only because of Chibas HaKodesh do we now consider these items to be subject to Tumah. El Chibas HaKodesh Mashal Le'uchla. So the Eitzim, Kama Delo Mashal Le'gzirim Lamit Kashre. Because consider, wood, as long as we have not cut them to be burnt on the top of the Mizbeach, wood that's going to be used on the top of the Mizbeach has to be cut into a particular shape. And if I remember correctly, it's a block, and it's an Amma by an Amma. But anyway, but until that point in time, so it's not... It's not even going to be put onto the mizbech. It's not kosher lekabel tumah. And lavona nami kama delo kisha bekli sharis lo miskasher. And lavona also prior to going into a kli sharis also is not miskasher. It's not going to be eligible to becoming tumah. So the Gemara says, so look. So when it comes to lavona, even when it's tumah, we're treating it like it's a Torah item because fundamentally it's a Torah item not eligible to tumah. And kli sharis nami obviously tahar b'mikvah, and the same thing with the kli sharis. It's tameh. Yeah, that's great. Thrown into a mikvah, it's no longer tameh anymore. So these items are fundamentally tahor, and that is pshat why you can't redeem them, because the Gemara is asserting right now, Shmuel's not right, that something with kedushas damim, if it's in a state of tahor, or if it's fundamentally tahor, or if it's taharable. I know I made up word. I know that. But in other words, but those things are not redeemable, and what the Gemara now is doing is poking a hole at Shmuel's assertion. The Gemara says, "Lo, lo lamei melacha tarim ba'ama niftim." So the Gemara says, "No, let's defend Shmuel. Shmuel's right that something which is tar, you can redeem. Just like if it's tar, you can redeem it as long as it only has kedushas damim, not as kedushas aguf, so you can redeem it. Like Shmuel started in the beginning of the daf, v'hani." Now, but we do have a brisa, and these brisa says that the Eitzim Lavona and the Kli Sharis are not redeemable when they become Tameh. So the Gemara says, V'hani mishum delo shchichehu. So the Gemara says, the only reason why you can't redeem these items is because these items are hard to replace. And because they're hard to replace, so therefore the Chachamim blocked and banned redemption. Because what are you going to do? You're just going to get another one of these? They're hard to replace. Now, the Gemara is going to explain why these items are hard to replace, because if you think about it, even before we start the next piece of Gemara, like we're talking about wood. But the Gemara is going to argue that these items are very difficult to replace. Now, Lavona and Kli Sharis, Lavona is frankincense, right? When I go to the store, I don't see a lot of it. right, I have a little jar in my house. But in other words, but it's a commodity, and it's hard to obtain, and fine, that's hard to replace. And a kli sharis is a kli sharis, meaning it was nimshach, and so that also is hard to replace. So I understand that you don't redeem them. Alaitzim mishkach shichi. So the Gemara is arguing about what we're talking about, wood over here. So the Gemara says, yeah, we're talking about wood, and we'll still make the argument. Eitzim nami kem damar markolation nimsa botolas pasul gabe mizbeach ilchol lo shichi. Now, because remember, we're not just talking about wood; we're talking about wood that can be used on the mizbeach. If the wood gets wormy, so that wood can't be used for the mizbeach. So yes, wood for the mizbeach is something which is hard to replace, and so all these items are not irreplaceable, but really difficult to replace, and that's why the Chachamim banned redemption of these items. Okay, Amar Rav Papa. So again, our focus is on Shmuel's statement. Shmuel says that when you have an item with kedushas damim, even a mincha. But before it goes into a kli sharis, and it only has kedushas damim, so Shmuel says it's redeemable. Again, the Mishnah says only if it's tamei, but again, Shmuel explained the Mishnah. We had a brisa that seems to indicate otherwise. The Gemara explained the brisa. So right now we are, at least at this point of the Gemara, in defense of Shmuel, that something with kedushas damim is redeemable, even when it's tahor. Amar Rav Papa Yishmiel le Shmuel ha detanya. Now Rav Papa says, I wish Shmuel only knew this brisa. If Shmuel knew this brisa, he would have changed his tune. The brisa reads, Hamadfis tamim lebedek abayis. I have an animal. It's a kosher animal and an animal that's eligible to be put onto the mizbeach, right? So it's a bull, it's a cow. It's not blemished, and I'm makdish that animal, but specifically for bedek abayis. I want the value of that animal to be used for operating expenses of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so what do you do with this animal? So ein podenoso ella lemizbeach. So the Beis HaMikdash now could sell the animal, but only when the buyer is planning on using it for a carbon. Meaning that because we're talking about an animal, and it's eligible to be put onto the Mizbeach, we only want it to go to the Mizbeach, and we do not want it to be used for any other purpose. And even when someone quote-unquote redeems it, it only means that he's going to be purchasing it for a carbon. And the Braisa concludes, Shekol ha'ra'i l'mizbeach, eino yotze midei mizbeach la'olam. Anything which is fit to go onto the mizbeach must always be designated and assigned to going onto the mizbeach. Ad kan divrei habraisa. So let's consider now what the braisa just taught us. You have something that is earmarked for the mizbeach; that's its destination. Now let's start at the beginning of the shiur today. We talked about a mincha. Now, if the mincha becomes tamei and it didn't go into a kli sharis to redeem it, but if the mincha is tahor, even though it has not yet gotten into a kli sharis, but what's its destination? Its destination is to go onto the mizbeach. Now, if you hear the words of the brisa and listen to the end of the brisa, kol haroi lemizbeach eino yotze midei mizbeach la'olam. Anything that is fit to go onto the mizbeach must continue to go onto the mizbeach. So what?
You want to put flour with a behemoth?
I don't want to do anything. Yes, that's what the Gemara is doing right now. Okay? Now.
What would make a mincha possible?
Tuma. A mincha is an edible food. It can become tummy. Lina, yotze. All the psalm that we described throughout the Masechta. Pickle. V'afa gav de kedushas damim ninu ein niftin. Ho utaharim heim. So hava hadarbe. Now, consider, and this is Rav Papa's point. It has kedushas damim, but still it's not going to be niftim as long as it's tahor. And if he would have known this brisa, he would have changed his tune. But the Gemara says, we're talking about Shmuel, velohi. It's not true. Shmuelay, he knew the brisa, velo hadarbe, and he wouldn't have changed his tune. Lav amar hasam kevin lo shchicha lo mifrika, hachanami kevin de shchicha, momen de pasa bebehema, da filo bedukin shabayin nami pasa, yokach lo shchicha. And the Gemara makes the following argument in defense of Shmuel. Remember, Shmuel does allow for redemption as long as it only has kedushas damim. But we did put a caveat into Shmuel, and that is, if there are items that are difficult to replace. If they are hard to replace items, so Shmuel says, so then the Chachamim blocked and banned redemption for intuitive reasons. Meaning, you're going to redeem this and what? You're just going to find another? It's not that easy. So we said that regarding Lavona, we said that regarding the Kli Sharis, we even made an argument regarding wood. But now what are we talking about? So we're talking about animals. Animals are hard to replace. And again, the Gemara argues, yes. animals are hard to replace. Because we're not just talking about animals. We're talking about animals that are eligible and qualified to go onto the Mizbech, which means that they cannot have a physical blemish. That's not so easy to come by. So they're an achinami. That's why they are not redeemable. But in other words, but fundamentally they are. It's just that we have to remember the caveat of if they're hard to replace, so the Chachamim blocked and banned redemption. But otherwise, you could redeem it. Okay. Adkan, that's the first amud of today's daf. And for today's first amud, basically, what we saw today is Shmuel's halacha. Shmuel says that something with Kedushas Adamim is redeemable, as long as, and specifically we're talking about a mincha, as long as it's not put into Kli Sharis, because once it goes into Kli Sharis, it's Kedushas Aguf, and it's not redeemable. And even though the Mishnah talks about it being Tameh, Shmuel says, no, not limited to Tama. Any mincha prior to going into a Kli Sharis is redeemable, whether it's Tameh or whether it's Tahor. And as far as the Mishnah is concerned, he explained the Mishnah. And what the Gemara did in the first time of the day is both attacked and defended Shmuel in his position. There are other opinions on the matter. Rav Kahana Amar, we are continuing in the Gemara. We're on the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, and Amaraim argue with Shmuel. Rav Kahana Amar, Tameim Niftim, Tahor May Niftim. No. If it's Tameh, it's redeemed. But if it's Tahor, you cannot redeem it. V'chein Amar Rav Oshia, Tameh Niftim, Tahor May Niftim. Now, Rav Oshia agrees also that in a state of Tama, then you can redeem it. But if the mincha is Tahor, you can't redeem it. Now, Ika Da'amri Amar Rav Oshia, Afilu Tahor Niftim. Now, in another version, of Rav Oshia, they say that Rav Oshia agrees with Shmuel and that even if it's Tahor, it can be redeemed. Rebbe Lazar Omer, Kulan Tamei Niftin, Tarun Ein Niftin. So Rebbe Lazar says that if it's Tamei, it can be redeemed. If it's Tarun, it cannot be redeemed. Meaning he argues with Shmuel. He agrees with Rav Kahana. But in Rebbe Lazar's viewpoint, there is one exception to this rule. And that is Chutz Me'asir Sa'ifa Shomin Chaschote. Except for the mincha offering of the sinner. We know that under certain circumstances, the Torah enumerates in the end of Parshas Vayikra that if a person will bring fundamentally Karban Chatos, but if he cannot afford it, so he will be able to bring, if he's Dali Dalos, if he's extraordinarily poor, he could bring a Mincha offering as a Chatos. This is what's called the Minchas Chote. See the Torah at the end of Parshas Vayikra for a listing of those Averos which he could bring, what we call the Karban Olav Yorid. In the meantime, however, Rebbe Lazar says that this is the exception to the rule where I can redeem it even if it is Tahor. Why Amr Torah Michataso Achataso? Because we know that there's a certain amount of flexibility regarding the Minchas Chote. And not to belabor the point right now, but I strongly encourage, see the Rashi of Chutz Mi Minchas Chote, where Rashi basically says that, in other words, think about it, I am basically in one tax bracket, so therefore I bring a particular carbon, depending on my tax bracket, but let's say after I'm obligated to bring the carbon, let's say I move tax brackets. Right, I was extraordinarily poor, and then I came into money before I purchased my carbon chatas. So, do I get to buy my lower end carbon because that's where I was when I committed the avera, or do I have to now buy a more expensive animal, or the other case where at the time when you did the avera you were you were wealthy and then you become poor? So in other words, and Rashi goes through that basically it's going to shift the obligation of the carbon you're going to buy based on your financial ability. So basically what we see over here is that there is flexibility as it relates to the Menchas Chote, and that's why it's redeemable. But in the meantime, however, not to lose sight of the basic point, Rebbe Lazar agrees with Rav Kahana, I can only redeem it when it's Tahor, when it's Tameh, not when it's Tahor. Okay.
Everybody's saying what he's saying. And
no, what? Rav Kahana? No, Rav Kahana's arguing with Shmuel.
I know, but I'm saying that
Rav Kahana...
Shmuel had a chiddush.
Right.
Right, but the thing is, Rav Kahana is not really stating a chiddush. It's something that we all...
It's a fair point, but in other words, but he, I guess just to say he's arguing with Shmuel is chiddush enough. I'm a Rabbi Oshia. Okay, and now what we're going to do is as follows. If you remember, we just quoted Rav Oshia 2 lines ago in the Gemara, 3 lines ago, and we had 2 versions of what Rav Oshia said. And now what the Gemara is going to do is basically ascertain as to which one is the quote-unquote more correct version of Rav Oshia in terms of the ability to redeem a mincha. But now this will take a while for the Gemara to develop, a considerable amount of time. This will take up the remainder of today's daf and going into tomorrow's daf. So let's begin. Amar Rav Hoshea, Shemati Pikol B'Mincha L'Rabbi Shimon Eina Matam Matamas Ochlin. Okay, so let's follow. There are a lot of factors over here to take into consideration. Okay, you have a mincha that went through the pickle disqualification. And according to Rabbi Shimon, it is not subject to Tumas Ochlin. Now keep in mind, we're talking about a mincha, which means that it is flour and oil. It's food. Food should be eligible subject to Tuma. What Rabbi Hoshea is saying is that if I subscribe to Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint, which right now we don't even know what his viewpoint is, but if I subscribe to it, so that means that if I take his viewpoint and apply it to a mincha that underwent the psul of pigul, so it's not going to be eligible for Tumas Ochlin. Okay, so there are a lot of moving parts to this discussion. The first thing we should do, which the Gemara is going to do right now, is what exactly is Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint? That would help us begin to understand what's happening right now. So we start with the following. Didnan. So let's learn together a Mishnah, it's a Tosefta, but in any event, Arla, fruit from a tree in the first 3 years after it's planted. Kalaya Karem, a vineyard where you planted other grains in that vineyard. Shor Haniskal, an animal that killed, which based in now ruled that it is to be stoned. Egla Arufa, a calf where there was a city, two cities that had a murder between the two cities. The city which is more proximate is going to go through the procedure of bringing the Egla Arufa. Sipara Mitzara, the birds at the first stage of the Tahara of a Mitzara. Petr Chamor, the firstborn donkey that comes out. Basar Bechalav, and meat and milk that are cooked together. Now, I know it sounds like we are just all over the place, but we're not all over the place. The common denominator between all these items are, they are Asar Behana. You cannot benefit from these items. Kula Matami Tomas Ochlim. Who? Yes. Before redemption. So, all these items are Asar Behana, but they're all food. And they are going to be metami Tumas Ochlin. So in other words, if I render them now edible, so they're subject to Tumas Ochlin. And on this, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon amar kulam ein metami Tumas Ochlin. So Rabbi Shimon says that they're not going to be metami Tumas Ochlin, with one exception of the things that we listed. Moder Rabbi Shimon b'basar b'chalav shemetami Tumas Ochlin, with exception to basar b'chalav. Hova haisalo shasa kosher. Because consider, basar b'chalav at one point was totally edible. Meaning, before it was basar b'chalav, it was basar and chalav. There was meat and milk. And then what happened is that they cook together. But because they at one point had a shasa kosher, so therefore they were edible, and therefore they're going to be subject to Tumas Ochlin. Let's make sure we understand. Well, in other words, we're talking about foods over here. Now, foods in general, because they're food and because they're edible, are subject to Tumah. If any source of Tumah comes into contact with the food now is going to become Tumah. And under certain circumstances, we're not going to go through all the details right now, the food could pass the Tumah along to something else. Fine. What we're learning together now is, according to Rabbi Shimon, if the food is Asur Behana'a, so then it is not subject to Tumas Ochlin. Now, why should that be? The Gemara is going to explain. The Amar Avasi, Amar Rav Yochanan, my time of the Rabbi Shimon, we call Ha'ochel Asher Ye Achel. Because the Torah, when describing Tumas Ochlin, it says, Kol Ha'ochel Asher Ye Achel. Any food which is eaten. That sounds redundant. Ochel shata yochol achil alachem kari ochel. Ochel shiyato yochol achil alachem in a kari ochel. In other words, in order to give the definition of achila and ochel, it has to be food which is edible, or I could feed it to other people. If it is not food which is edible, nor can I feed it to other people, so it does not define itself, it doesn't qualify as ochel, and therefore not subject to Tumas Ochlin. Now consider, when something is Asur Behana, so not only can I not eat it, I can't even give it to my non-Jewish neighbor. Here, look, what's it called? Somebody gifted me a bottle of wine. It's not kosher. Okay, here, take it. So, now, wine might not have been the best example, because, right, it's, okay. Well, Stam Yenam, you can't get enough from it, at least the Ashkenazim or Mekel, on this item. Okay, wine was not the best example. Okay, right, non-kosher meat. Okay, so in other words, for whatever reason, I have non-kosher meat, so I just simply gift it over. Right, I also remember the Gemara Lo Sechanim, but again, I don't want to get bogged down in the details. But when you have something which is also brought on, not only can I not eat it, I can't even give it to somebody else to eat. In other words, benefit includes gifting it to other people. So Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that when something is asr b'anah, with exception to basar b'chalav, so therefore it is not considered ochel, and therefore it's not subject to tumas ochlin. Good. That shitas Rabbi Shimon. Okay, that was step one. Step two. Now let's move it over to what we're discussing about, and that is a mincha that went through the disqualification of pigel. V'apigel b'mincha nami ochel ishiyat o'yachol achil l'achermu. So the Gemara says, you know, if you have a mincha that underwent pigel, so you can't eat it, you can't feed it to others, no one can eat it. And so therefore, even though it's a food, it doesn't, according to Rabbi Shimon, qualify as ochel, and therefore not subject to tumas ochlim. So, e hachi basa b'chav nami typically do'ocha shato yachol achil l'acherim hu. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. If the Gemara just got caught on one point, which is that if we're talking about the shita of Rabbi Shimon, and we're talking about basa b'chalav, so Rabbi Shimon has a really interesting position regarding basa b'chalav, and that is, Rabbi Shimon holds that's mutar b'hana. Now, we don't paskin like that, but Rabbi Shimon does, and this is all an analysis of shita's Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara says, consider, detanya, I'm sorry, detanya, we learned on the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Amar Mishum, Rabbi Shimon. So this is a shita within the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Basa b'chalav, asa b'achila, mutar b'hana. That basa b'chalav, you cannot allow to eat, but you are allowed to get benefit from. Again, disclaimer, this is Rabbi Shimon shita. This is not how we hold. The So we have the pasuk of not being able to eat meat cooked together with milk. And we have another pasuk also employing the word kadosh and talking about treifa. Now, what do we all know regarding treifa? What we know regarding treifa is asur b'achila b'motar b'ana. So malahalan asur b'achila b'motar b'ana, afkan asur b'achila b'motar b'ana. So he has a gzeirah shava that tells us that meat and milk is mutar b'ana. Fine. Again, we don't hold like this. But still, within Shitas Rabbi Shimon, so meat and milk is an exception. You know why? Because now what the Braisa said earlier is because at one point in time it did have an eligibility to be eaten. This is Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Even after meat and milk, even after it's cooked together, you're allowed to get benefit from it. So it should be ochel. So the Gemara says, chad avod kamar. So the Gemara says, you're right. And you're right. Meaning, so in other words, yeah, you're right. Meaning, if your sheet is Rabbi Shimon, you can feed it to other people because it's not asur b'ana. And even if I didn't hold like Rabbi Shimon, still meat and milk is going to be exceptional because before it was cooked together, they were both edible in of itself.
Wonderful.
Right? No, that's the right question to ask. Okay, so now, Meisvei. And so what we have over here now is the following. We have a principle, Rabbi Shimon, and we have an application. The principle of Rabbi Shimon is that when something is not edible and I can't feed it to other people, i.e., it's asur b'hana'a, so now it is not subject to tumas ochlin. And what the Gemara is doing now is a statement by Rabbi Yoshia, is that Rabbi Yoshia says is that if you take the concept of Rabbi Shimon and you now apply it to a mincha that underwent the disqualification of pigol, so same thing. It's not subject to tumas ochlin. Okay, Ben asked the right question. And what the Gemara is going to do, and we'll start this point tomorrow, is we're going to challenge because, wait 1 second, if I take Rabbi Shimon's concept, it doesn't seem that it fits in to the concept of a mincha that underwent pigol. So stay tuned. That's where we're going to pick it up tomorrow. Quick recap for today. The Mishnah talked about the ability to redeem menachos. The Mishnah says before it goes into a kli sharis and it's tameh, it's redeemable. After it goes into a kli sharis, it's not redeemable. And what Shmuel argued for the first half of today's daf is that before it goes into a kli sharis, it's always redeemable, whether it's tameh or whether it's tahor. And what the Gemara did is tested his position, defended it, attacked it, did a wonderful job doing both. And even within the sheet of Shmuel, the one caveat the Gemara threw in is that I can redeem everything before it goes into a kli sharis. However, and I don't mean everything. Again, remember, by animals, obviously you can't. Animals have kedushas to go immediately. But something with kedushas adamim, prior to going into a kli sharis, I can redeem it, whether it's tamei tahor. The only exception, which by the way covers a lot of things, but the only exception are those things which are difficult to replace. Items which are difficult to replace. So the Chachamim banned redemption for the obvious reason of hey, you can't just redeem it, because then we're going to have to find another, and it's not that easy to find, but otherwise you can redeem it. The Amoraim argue on Shmuel, Rav Kahana, Rabbi Lazar, they argue on Shmuel, maybe Rabbi Oshia argues on Shmuel as well, and what we're in the middle of discussing right now, and this go into tomorrow's daf, is whether or not Rabbi Oshia agrees or disagrees with Shmuel, but it'll take us a while to unravel that the and get to the bottom of Rav Oshia's position.